Hello, this is Freddie T. Wyatt, and you are listening to the Real Life Church Podcast. Welcome to the Recap Podcast. This is Freddie T. And I got to tell you, I'm a little encouraged because this early Monday morning, I got a ping asking me where the Recap Podcast was. And I was like, we haven't recorded it yet. And anyways, it's Monday, so it's a little late to recap Sunday, but it's still Monday. So we're going to go for it. I've got two good friends with me here today, Hunter Stapp. What's up, Hunter?
Hey.
Jeff Stansberry. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you?
Hey, so if you're paying attention to the podcast, you know I've done a couple of podcasts in the car. Well, Jeff just reminded me that he was the guy that told me.
You
told me about this guy that you listened to that did a podcast in the car.
Right.
So thank you, Jeff, for telling me about that.
You're too kind.
So we're sitting outside Starbucks on Madison Street. So you got all the background noise. Probably not the best place to record a podcast, but
real life.
That's real life.
Real life.
Well played. Yeah. Well played, Jeff. Well played. All right. So let's just do some quick takeaways from Sunday. Hunter, I'm going to start with you. And let's work backwards.
All right.
So you went to the student ministry meeting.
Yep.
And plugged into student ministry. And was that your first night at Real Life Students?
No, I'd been there a couple times. Yeah, but it was cool. Just getting to hang out with students. A lot of middle schoolers right now, and that's a lot of fun, a lot of energy, a lot of craziness, and them running around playing the games. But yeah, I mean, it's been good.
You and I were laughing earlier about how conversations with middle schoolers go.
Oh yeah, it's like pulling teeth. Like you're like, how's your day? And they're like, fine. Anything happened this week? No. How was the ball game the other night? It was okay. You know, and so, yeah, so you don't really get a whole lot of conversations there.
Now, Jeff, you got a son that's a sophomore, right?
He's a sophomore. Yeah.
So is his conversation skill growing since his middle school days as a sophomore?
It's pretty much the same thing, you know. When you asked about the day, so how was it? It was good. And it was good. Yeah, it was good. Well, what happened to make it so good? So yeah. Then you got to fish a little bit more for questions, and then you kind of break through the whole thing of the summary thing, right. Especially the guys. They kind of want
right. to
put everything in a bundle and say, oh, it was fine.
Right,
you
right.
know, so.
Well, I think that's what amazes me about students is God is often at work behind those one-word answers. He's often doing really amazing and deep things in the hearts and minds of students that, you know, that then it comes out and you're like, whoa, there really is something going on, you know, there. And anyways, Hunter, thanks for investing in the students.
Oh, yeah.
What did Nathan preach on?
Yeah, so Nathan's been doing this this kind of love series, like what do we love? And so he was talking about how we love God's word and the power of God's word and where it comes from and what it can do in our lives. And so there's a lot of truth in that, and there's a lot of power in you know kind of what we were passing on to the kids and talking with some of the kids. I think a lot of them are really understanding a lot of it and their age, it might not mean a lot to them right today, but I think it's something that they'll remember. You know, when those times come up in life, I think they'll remember it. Like they'll go back to it and be like, there is power in this, and there's And when I'm having a tough time, I know exactly where to go.
Yeah. So I just started something just the other day with Jack. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit prompting me. I don't know. But I just said, hey, buddy, you want to start reading the Bible together in the morning? Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, he said, yes. So Jack, my son's a sixth grader. And, you know, we've always encouraged him to read his Bible. And he hasn't shown a lot of initiative. You know, there's a lot of big words in there. He doesn't understand. You know, he doesn't know what the words are. And so anyways, we started reading through the book of James. And we'll just take a few verses, you know, maybe whatever, like a little paragraph. And we'll read it. And then I'll just kind of ask that basic question of what does it say? So before even getting to what it means, what does it say? So slowing down and letting the scripture just kind of marinate in your mind. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so sometimes he just rereads it out loud to tell me what it says. But I gotta tell you guys, like 6:45 reading the Bible with my sixth grader has been the highlight of my week. It's been amazing. So I say all that to say, Jack was super excited when he got home from Students Hunter to tell me what Nathan preached on, because he's only been reading his Bible every day for a week. And I think his small group leader, Lloyd, asked him, he was like, he's like, how many of you guys read your Bible every day? And so Jack was able to say, well, I do. You know, and he's been doing it like a whole week, you know. But it was so encouraging to him, yeah. You know, that like he started this habit. And anyways, I'm super excited. Hunter, what were you most encouraged about coming away from Real Life Students Sunday night? Real Life Students takes place every Sunday night, 4 to 6, at Trinity Baptist Church, 6th grade through 12th grade. Uh-huh. Lots of student leaders. Yep. Nathan Maynard teaches. Uh-huh. We might have other people teach from time to time. Uh-huh. What was your most encouraging takeaway?
I just like seeing the excitement of the kids when they show up there. You know, they come like running out of the cars and instantly are running up to their friends and other people there. Like some of these people they've just known for like a week or two, and they're like instantly plugged in. They feel at home. They're like, this is for me. This is where I belong. And so see them connect with each other, kids from different schools, different ages, and just kind of joking with each other, having a good time, and like playing these stupid games that like they just love, but where they look like, I don't know, they look crazy, like they're falling over each other, and you know, and so it's cool to see them connect with each other, and I think that's what I'm the most excited about, see them connect, but then also see them grow and see what that's going to become, like this like family of theirs.
I'm with you, man. I love it. I love watching what God's doing. Exactly what you said. It's like all these students, half of them, they don't know each other. I got a text message last night, Jeff, Hunter, from I think it was from a grandmother. It was a Facebook message. And so let me just preface it by saying, at Real Life Sango, we love other local churches. So we don't ever want to be the church that throws another local church under the bus, you know?
Oh, sure.
Any gospel preaching church, man, we are unified with them. But she shared with me her experience. Her granddaughter's experience was at a previous church, something about the high schoolers were rude to the middle schoolers or something like that, and she just never felt welcome. So they tried another church, and she didn't connect with the student ministry or something. And anyway, she said she almost had to force her granddaughter to go to Real Life Students Sunday night. And she was really reluctant to go. And she said her granddaughter got in the car, and she said, Granny, she said, they accepted me. She said, two of the girls came up and told me they were so glad I was there, you know, and
cool.
Isn't that cool? So, I mean, for us, like, that's a small thing. Somebody coming up saying, I'm glad you're here. But man, for that student, like, that was game changer. And so, I just give God praise that he's doing that, because everybody needs a family. Everybody needs a home. And God is building one at Real Life Sango, even for the students. And it's exciting to see building block days. We had a parents meeting toward the end of the meeting, and I shared with the parents, you know, imagine a year from now we're going to be looking back on this parent meeting going, hey, remember when there was just nine of us in, you know, in the room, or, you know, whatever. And anyways, I'm thankful for what God's doing. Let's take a hard right and talk about Sunday morning. So, Jeff, what was your biggest takeaway from Sunday morning? What was your highlight? What was the best part of your Sunday? You can't say the sermon.
I can't say the sermon.
You can't say the sermon.
I can't say anything about the sermon.
You can.
I can.
You can. Okay. But you got to tell me something else that was.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to brag on you a little bit. And I have sent you a couple of, I call them attaboy text messages.
I appreciate your attaboy text messages.
The way that you relate what you're talking to the people that are listening, no matter what the setting, is a gift. It really is a gift, the ability to communicate with somebody. You have so many different people in a room, from seniors to college-age students, to people that have never been there before.
Right, right.
And for your ability to, you know, I looked around yesterday and I noticed all these people, not anybody was fumbling around looking at their phone. That you had everybody engaged in what you were talking about when you were talking about your battery hooked up to your phone.
Yeah.
And the illustration of that we have this power available to us, yeah, and we plug it in, but that button has to be pushed. And, you know, of course, I've been out of town for a couple of weeks and all that too, so it was just moving, and it was really good to be back to hear that message for me, as a Christian, to be reminded that we are children of the Creator of the universe. And how awesome is that? That any time that we can go to our Creator and to say, Lord, I need you.
Yeah.
I need what you have.
That's right.
I need your power.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing is that for anyone?
Yeah.
And it's for anyone that accepts what God has to offer.
That it is amazing, isn't it? It's God. God is very generous. He has given us His Spirit in full. He's not withheld. He's not held back. He's lavished His love upon us by pouring out His Spirit in our hearts. It's so funny. I'm encouraged that you're encouraged, and your attaboy texts are super encouraging, Jeff. I'm thankful for them. But so we keep it real. We keep it Jesus. So Susan and I had a big fight Saturday night, and you know, it was kind of weird. It wasn't like a big fight.
Yeah.
It was just one that like felt like it kept going on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it didn't feel like a knockdown drag out. It just felt like one that would never end.
The lingering fight.
And so here's my real experience last week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, I felt more prepared for Sunday's sermon than I had any sermon that I can remember.
Uh-huh.
And on Sunday morning, I felt more distracted from any sermon, any sermon. And so, you know, it's the preacher's experience is often like when he gets done and he feels like he hits a home run, it usually was a base hit, you know, single.
Yeah.
But when he gets done, he feels like he might have struck out or might have got a single. The Lord chooses to use that meager offering sometimes as a home run. And just in my experience, that's, you know, that's what God's done. My personal experience Sunday, I felt like I was naked and bleeding out on the side. Like, that's just what... That was my experience, and so I praise God that there was not just anything edifying, but as powerfully edifying as you're sharing, Jeff. That's great.
Well, it's something that, you know, I've noticed, and through the preview service and all that, you know, there is a passion that you have for what you're talking about that comes through, and. That's what you're not there selling Jesus, but you're saying this is what is available to you. And you can feel it when you're delivering the message, when you're talking about what you're talking about. And I know exactly what you're saying is, like, in whatever we're doing or anything else, that you're just like, when you get done, you're like, oh, man, that was just awful. And then somebody walks up and they say, wow, you know, that was great. And you want to thank you. But inside you're going, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's, but it, I mean, for me personally, it was well received.
Well, you know what's so great about it? It's humbling, because, you know, I felt very vulnerable, but not in a good way. Like, I got done and I was like, man, like, get me to next Sunday. That, you know, I was like, let me preach another sermon to get this one behind me. And a gal posted on her Instagram. She's like, sermon was on point, my favorite one yet.
Yeah.
And to me, that was humiliating, because in my pride, I try to estimate like what the best sermons are. You know what I mean? Like, I try to be the judge on what a good sermon was. And man, I am just a tool in the Lord's hands. It's funny, because in the early church, the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul, the church was two-man focused, and they were all caught up in their leaders. And the Apostle Paul was like, some of you follow Paul, some of you follow Apollos. And he said, what is man? And he goes on to say, man is nothing. God is everything. One plants, one waters, but God gives the growth. And man, that's true. Like, we are just vessels, broken jars of clay. And so praise God that he chooses to use us in his kingdom work. What are you guys most excited about just as moving forward? The Real Life Sango, as you look forward, whether it's to next Sunday or over the next 6 months, what are you excited about personally? Maybe it's in your life in Real Life Sango. Maybe it's just what we're going to do as a church corporately.
I know for me, like, I left Sunday feeling like refreshed and energized, and you know, I'll kind of echo what Jeff was saying about, you know, it's like it was authentic, and I felt God talking to me, and so, like, moving stuff around in my heart and my mind, you know, I've been kind of going through some stuff and trying to figure things out, and I mean, it was exactly what I needed, and
wow.
And so,
praise God.
Yeah, and so, you know, those kind of those kind of revelation moments that happen throughout my life as I kind of reflect on things, and it might just be one little line that sticks out or that's said, and you know, because I don't ever do a very good job of remembering the words that are said. I just kind of remember what I was thinking and feeling and kind of what it stirred inside me.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it, you know, like plugging in and just kind of leaning in on the church and just seeing the changes I can already feel happening. I've been in church, heavily involved in church for years, but yet this is different. Like, I'm feeling like, I can really feel God working in my life, and you can see it on Sunday mornings. You see God working in the people that are there. I mean,
it does feel different.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe, but there's something about it that I really have not experienced before, and I can't really put my finger on it.
Yeah. You know, I always point back to the story of how Real Life Sango got started, where pastors were praying for this work for months, before anything happened, and before, you know, and I just think, man, God honors it when his people unite their hearts and pray in faith and believe God, and they persevere in that prayer in faith. And you know, I think God is answering the prayers of four pastors that gathered together and were faithful to gather and pray for a work in a place amongst a people. Before there was ever a planter, they were praying for God's work, and I think God's saying yes, and it is marvelous to behold and to watch. Hunter, what you said reminded me of something years ago that I read, that Jonathan Edwards, when he was preaching, I love this, Jonathan Edwards wasn't so much concerned that the people left remembering everything that he said as much as he was desiring to see the people affected in the moment by what he said. And, dude, you've encouraged your pastor in a major way today. Because, I mean, just to hear that God is speaking in real time, in the moment, impacting people's minds and hearts. I mean, you articulated an answer to my prayer as I prepare to preach. So praise God for that. Thank you, brother. Jeff, as you look forward to Real Life Sango and all that's ahead, maybe it's next week, maybe it's 6 months from now, in your life or corporately, what are you excited about?
I'm really looking forward to building on the relationships with the people who are involved.
Yeah, yeah.
there are just a lot of people that are new people that I've never met before, and just getting to know them. You know, our D group, the guys are in D group. Carl Wald and I and Bill Poole, they're in the group, as well as Chuck. Don't want to leave you out, Chuck. And but Carl and I went to church together, and Carl said to me, he said, you know, in all the years that I've gone to church with you, I guess I never really had the opportunity to sit down and outside of church and just talk to you that much. So, you know, there are other people that you sit around and talk to, and you just talk about what's going on in their life, in their world, you know, where they are, what they're from, their walk with Christ, where they went to church, how they got involved in this. I mean, there are a lot of people that are just coming to church now, but, you know, we came because of the pools, and Scotty, my wife, wanted to come over and check it out, and I said, okay, we'll check it out. And... but we're not committing to anything. And she said, okay, that's fine. So we go through the first one, and she's handing me these sheets, and we're signing up for stuff. And I'm like, she said, what is it? I said, I didn't think that we were going to do this yet. And she said, well, you know, but, you know, it's like a week into it and a couple weeks in, you know, I got it. And I went and talked to our pastor at our church at Mount Hermon Baptist, John Richardson, and I sat down with him, and after we've been coming for a few weeks, and I said, John, we kind of feel like that this is what we're supposed to be doing, where we need to be. And he said, man, if you feel like that's what God wants you to do, then do it. And he said, it's just good to see you smile again. Wow. So and I'm really looking forward to seeing the real life student thing kind of grow and take off. Of course, us as a parent, you know, and having somebody involved, and Colton's 15, and you know, Colton's almost kind of feel like Colton's in like dual roles. He's one of the students, but some of the younger kids, they're kind of, you know,
they
kind of look up to him.
Yeah,
a little
they
bit.
Definitely look up to him.
And he let, you know, one thing that we were talking about when you were talking about the kids,
I'm good. I was just checking the battery. Ironically, I'm checking my battery and I don't have a. But I got 8%.
Does that mean to practice what you preach?
That's right. We're recording the podcast on the iPhone. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you, Jeff.
The thing that I see with the real life student thing, the big takeaway that I saw when we picked up Colton last night is they're comfortable. And when kids are comfortable, when we as adults are comfortable,
it's good.
They feel like that they have the ability to smile, to play, to laugh, and interact with others. And I think that you guys and the leaders that are involved have done a wonderful job so far of making a setting to where that the kids feel comfortable.
Well, you know what? I love that you said that. It's so insightful. And I think that's part of the beauty of a church plant, is that it's like you don't have enough resources to make things real fancy, right? You know, and there's not a lot of hype. There's no smoke and lights.
Right.
There's relationships. Right. It's kind of raw. It's kind of stripped down. And It's not to say it's not quality. There's a quality message that God is moving in hearts. But I love that that's what you saw, comfortable. That's cool. Well, I'm excited about what you guys are excited about for sure. And, you know, I just, as people are hearing this, maybe you're listening to the podcast today and you've never visited Real Life Sango. Hunter, how old are you? What kind of work are you in? I just want people to know, what kind of people come to Real Life Sango?
I'm 35. I teach third grade math and science over in Cheatham County. I do a little piddle around with some other little things. And,
well, I want you to tell one of the little things.
I own, along with a friend of mine that we grew up with, a business called Run Amuck Outfitters. We do kayak canoes and we rent them and sell them, and I don't know, it's a lot of fun. We get to meet a lot of people, and then I don't know. I grew up out in Sango and moved away for a while and up in the Seattle area, and came back a handful of years ago. And it's cool to see this in the community I grew up in a school that used to be just a field.
Very cool. Yeah. Okay, so two things. One, you're a single man.
Yeah.
All right. And ladies, did you hear that? Okay. No, I'm just saying that because, Jeff, you're a married man with how many kids?
Three sons.
You got three sons. So God's blessing Real Life Sango with diversity. Mm-hmm. Jeff, how old are you?
I am 53.
53. So you got a 34-year-old man, 53. It's almost 20 years between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
You got a family. You got a single man. God's you're like, you grew up in Sango. I love that. That's fantastic. How long have you been in Clarksville, Jeff?
About 11 years now.
And tell us about your work and your family.
I am a professional auctioneer by trade.
Can you give us a little something-something?
You want a little something-something?
Yeah, come on.
Really, you do?
We're not going to tell the podcast listeners that you're an auctioneer and not give them a little something. Before we do your auctioneer,
okay.
I blitzed by this, and I wanted people to hear this. So Hunter, you co-own Run Amuck with your friend Jay Pennington. So if you ever take a canoe ride with Run Amuck, which I highly recommend, you got to ask them about the story about the goat. That's all I'm going to say. It's a good story, isn't it?
If you're a kayaker, you're my new best friend anyway, because I love kayaking.
They can hook you up at Run Amuck. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So but if you ever go, you've got to ask Hunter or Jay or whoever's leading your canoe trip or taking you down on the water or picking you up, you got to ask them the story of the goat. It's a classic story. Now, Jeff, you're an auctioneer. Yes. My great uncle was an auctioneer.
I didn't know.
Buddy Gill? Did you ever know Buddy Gill?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Give it to us.
Okay. Give it to us. You guys going to bid?
I'll bid.
I got to bid one, two. I got to bid three. Then four. Sir, you got it. You can't just smile. You got to bid now. Five. I got to bid five. Now six dollar. Now 7, 8. I got to bid 9, 10. I got to bid 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now I got to bid 50. I got to bid 15. Now 16. Now 16. Now 16. Sold.
That was awesome. I think we're going to do that at the offering this Sunday at Real Life Church.
If you need to speed up your scripture reading, I'm available.
Well, I think we ought to do that at the offering, right? Like, no. Oh my gosh, that was fantastic. When did you know you had the ability to be an auctioneer?
I don't know that I've ever really known that I've had the ability for it. It's just something I've drawn to as a kid. You know,
my dad. Did you have a mentor?
My dad and I were really close, and of course, I grew up on a farm. And at certain times of the year, we would be at a livestock auction a couple times a week.
So you would hear other auctioneers doing it.
I'd hear other auctioneers. Now, the auctioneer that I tried to emulate, looking back on it now, was just terrible. But he was still an auctioneer, and I would sit there for hours with a tape recorder and record myself and all that.
Wow.
And,
what age did you start recording yourself, Jeff?
Probably about 12.
Wow.
11, 12.
And, so you caught an early passion for this.
Very much I mean, I was an animal science major at University of Tennessee, and, you know, my dad tried to get me a major in business. I said, no, I'm going to be a cowboy the rest of my life. And I was close to graduating and looking at a couple of guys that were the same major that I was, and I said, I don't think I want to do what they're doing. And I remember my grandfather saying, auctioneers make a lot of money. You know, I said, I've always loved that. So like a week later, I was on my way in a red S10 pickup truck with vinyl seats and no air conditioning, driving across the state of Missouri, 100 degrees, going to auction school for 2 weeks. And I've done that for 31 years now, I guess.
Jeff, that is interesting. So fascinating. All right, I'm sweating out here. We're sitting outside, and it just got hot. It's the fall. It's supposed to be. Jeff and Hunter, thank you guys for being on the podcast. Thank you for letting me ask you some silly questions and some serious questions. And this has been great. I hope the audio has come through okay with all this, you know, traffic noise. But as we look toward this Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on the people of God, our family. And maybe your experience with your family wasn't a good experience growing up, or maybe you had a great family, but here's the good news, is that God wants to bless you with a spiritual family that loves and cares for you, that speaks God's truth into your life. And so I invite you to come this Sunday and hear about the people of God, our family, and how God wants to enrich you as a part of the family of God, and how He wants to use you as part of the family of God. And then secondly, this Sunday night, we start The Path. And The Path is a three consecutive week course where you get to dig into the DNA of Real Life Sango, ask all your questions, hear about our passion, and we want to get to know you. And so you can sign up for The Path. It starts this Sunday night at 4:15. We're going to meet at Hilldale Baptist Church's Family Life Center. It runs until 5:45. That's designed so that if you have students, you can drop them off at student ministry, drive up to Hilldale, go to The Path, and then go back and pick them up. And you can do that without rushing. I hope you'll, if you're interested in digging into what Real Life Sango is all about, I hope you join us at The Path this Sunday night. It's our very first Path ever, and it's going to be great. 250 Old Farmers Road. Just email us info@reallifesango.com. Info, I-N-F-O, info@reallifesango.com if you plan on coming. And thank you for listening to the podcast. We're just thankful you're tracking with us, and thankful to give you a little window into what God's doing in Real Life Sango. Hunter and Jeff, thanks for being on today.
Hey.
Thank you. and thanks for the podcast, because from the road, it's a joy to listen to them, and I've listened to some of the sermons multiple times.
Awesome. Signing off. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Life Church podcast. Find more information at reallifesango.com. Connect with us on our social media outlets. Start a conversation about joining our core team at our website.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon at Real Life Church.